From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, your host all over the Great Lakes State and all over the world at wildmichiganradio.com. Our friends, Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, are helping bring us to you. And they are having a big fling of a wing ding bash out there this weekend. The July 4th weekend, they have gone, they have remodeled, they have expanded, they've added new services to Not Just Guns. So this weekend, big sales, so make sure you check them out. Check them out online, notjustguns.com, a link at wildmichiganradio.com. Also, our friends at Conquest Sense and the United Deer Farmers of Michigan helping us out here as well. And we had talked in the first segment, first hour rather, to our good friend Lance Valentine from Teaching Fishing, Ed Shaw up at the Lake Mitchell in Cadillac. The Carl T. Johnson Hunting and Fishing Education Center. Lots of things going on with both of those gentlemen. Right now, up in the Traverse City area, my good friend David A. Rose joins us. David, how are you, sir?
You know, I'm good, and I appreciate you including me with Lance and everyone at the Carl T. Johnson Center. Dude, these are great people, and I feel like I'm part of the crew now.
Dude,
that's awesome.
You know what? This show... I have said this since the very beginning, since show one, episode one, we have had what I consider the best people at their craft on this show answering questions. Questions from the guy who has the dumb questions in the audience and isn't afraid to ask them, because you don't learn if you don't ask. And at that time, you know, I knew a lot less than what I know now. And I still have way more room to go to learn what I need to learn. And somewhere along the way, we need to change things. We need to let things go. Even if we've learned them, and that's how that has always been, change is good. And David, it's funny because I've been going through this declutter mode in my life. Growing up, the grandchild of Depression-era people my parents grew up on the poor side, I will say, and growing up myself, we had enough, okay, sometimes a little extra. But so I have a hard time letting things go, cleaning out the tackle box, if you will. And just lately, I've said, you know what, there's stuff I got to get rid of. You know, I have my buying and selling of vintage and antique stuff on the business on the side, and I've got all the small stuff that I need to let go and get rid of and just get what I can get out of it. And it's funny because you're doing the same thing with fishing stuff. It's something we all need to kind of do.
You know, it is. And, okay, so you and I are about the same age. And so if you look on the internet and you go, blah, blah. So when you're 20, you're trying to do this. And you're 30, you're trying to do that. You're 40, you're trying to do that. And when you're 50, it's so funny. 50 is some years old. You go, okay, where am I now?
Oh, my God.
And there's a lot of great things out there. I mean, these new companies have lures. I'm not going to badmouth anything new. I mean, seriously, because there's some amazing, amazing achievements that tournament pros and just professional fishermen who maybe they have a school, maybe they have this, maybe they have that, and they help their sponsors create new lures, new planer boards, new sonar, new whatever. And they help create us, you know, brand new things that we never thought of. I mean, how a lure runs and where it goes and where the fish are and all that kind of stuff. So, but in the meantime, not to say you need to get rid of every old thing, because I'm going to tell you what, some of those, we'll call them vintage lures that have been around forever, still catch a lot of fish.
Oh, sure.
There's no doubt. But then how much is too much in your pole barn? How much is too much? How much, you know, you're hunting, you're whatever. You know, I will say a major magazine and I, we got in a discussion about this. And one of the editors actually talked to me and said, well, actually talked to me. They talked to me. But anyways, they actually talked to me about this particular subject. And it's like, you know, we're all still just out there trying to catch some walleye, some bass, some salmon, some lake trout, some brook trout, whatever. You know, what works? And is it the day? Is it the lure? Is it whatever? And we can all, do we all collect too much? But there's a lot of people that are just starting out that would love to have some of the lures and whatnot we have. And so, lures, right?
Well, you know, there is a market. Look, this is what I do with this picking business. I've been doing this since about 10 years old, buying and selling antique and vintage items, okay? First thing out of my mouth has always been, okay, don't throw anything away. Okay, I don't care if it's the most minuscule piece of paper or what you seem to think is so insignificant. There's a value and a history behind everything, okay? What that is determined by what somebody will pay for something, okay?
Right.
And I go to, there's a lot of historical stuff that I deal with, and I've had some great stuff that's ended up in some places that it will forever be there, and I'm grateful for it. But you know what? When we have fishing lures, look, even floats and bobbers bring good money, okay? Knowing what ones are going to do that's a lot of work. But somebody out there will want them, and that's when you say, you know what? This is what either I'll take for it, or you do a little research, and this is what I really would take for it.
Right, you can do that. And I've been in both. I say, okay, I understand that this blah blah is worth this amount. I could get this on social media or you know, eBay type program. You know, there's a lot of them out there. Or I can donate this to someone who will use it. So you kind of that's exactly what I've been dividing my stuff into. Is like, you know, there's a kid out there, and our DNR up here has they did have before COVID, and they will again. You know, they have a great youth fishing program, and we have Greilich, the outdoor up here. If you look in the Traverse City area, you look up Greilich. They have a great fishing program, and there's kids that could utilize this kind of stuff. If you're only going to get 50 cents for it,
yeah,
you know, do you donate it? Do you do what? So, because there's a lot of people that could use it, and you know, what is anything worth anymore? And I will say that this whole social media has changed all that. A lure, and I'm back from the day when a guy before social media could get $25,000 for a lure because somebody discovered he had it.
Right.
And that lure is now worth $150. I'm serious.
No, I know. I laugh at that because, look, okay, if you're hoarding a case of JR beer, Harley Davidson beer, or Billy beer, throw it away, okay? It's nothing. The internet has killed everything. eBay has killed values on everything. Because what used to be a regional piece is no longer a regional piece because somebody's got 10 of them in like Oklahoma. Okay. It's just that way. So, I mean, but there are still things that are worth a lot of money because of the rarity. Again, that's a crapshoot. You know, I buy stuff like that every day. And, you know, do I win all the time? No, I don't. But again, getting rid of the clutter, especially when it comes to your tackle box. How many times have you gone to your tackle box, David, and rifled through things going, why in the hell is this still here?
You know what? I swear, well, I'll tell you now, I've gone through some depression and anxiety, and I didn't do it for a couple of years, but then all of a sudden I'm doing it again and going, you know, I haven't used this particular lure, and I have some very similar, and yeah, maybe it's time to give it up.
Absolutely. David A. Rose is our guest here, talking about clearing the clutter. We'll do more of that, and we'll talk a little fishing as well here on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.
Nick Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back glass, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Not Just Guns, Conquest Sense, and United Deer Farmers of Michigan, unapologetic about owning AR-15s and handguns and all the other stuff we seem to be under fire about. But you know what? Don't give a damn, because I'm going to keep them, and we're going to do what we want to do. Plain and simple. Talking to my good friend David A. Rose right now. We talked a little bit about clearing out, cleaning out the tackle box, if you will. Our soul being the tackle box, and we're kind of cleaning it out a little bit. But, I mean, you can be metaphoric all day long, David. But really, there is there's a lot of benefit to this, not only financially or you know, the feel-good part when you put something in somebody else's hand and get them started. But there's a lot of memories that go. You can pick up a lure in your tackle box, and it may or may not release a flood of memories throughout your life.
Oh, there's no doubt. Keep one of those lures. Okay, so I literally have, I'm staring at it right now. I have this rowboat-looking shelf, and it was my grandfather's and one other person in my life who really helped me get into fishing. They had some of their old lures, and I have them up there. I'm not a lure collector. I'm not an old lure collector. I had a lure collector that has wanted one of my lures forever, and I said no because of my grandfather's. And I might think it's worth something, but you know what? I don't care. Right now,
right. You
know, I look at it, and it's about memories. So, but you don't need 17 tackle boxes full. Here's my grandpa's 14 rods, you know, this kind of thing. If you want to have a memory, oh, sure. You show your friends, this is my grandfather's rod, and he used these three lures a lot, and, yeah, how cool is that? You know, and that's where my heritage came from. And to me now, as an older person in my mid-50s, it's more about, okay, I look at that, and I say, okay, here was my bringing up. We can only wish, you know, a lure. Oh, this lure this year was going for $1,000, but this year it's only going for $400. I'll wait till it goes for $1,000 again. Might not happen, and that's fine.
Right.
No, and you know that. And as a picker, you understand. I mean, but to me, there, you know, memories are a great thing, and you can have a small tribute to your grandma and grandpa, your mom and dad, aunt and uncle, whoever took you out fishing and said, oh, I used to cast this lure all the time. I caught a couple of fish on, had a great time. And now you put it up in your little plaque and you say, this is what made me who I am.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the other cool thing about you know, dealing with some of the older stuff, and you brought this up off air, is, you know what, we have all this cool technology with, you know, with carbon fiber rod, this, that, all the other things. I'm not even going to go into, you know, the makeup of rods anymore because I don't even know. But going back and picking up an old Shakespeare rod and reel combo, or, you know, maybe an old Ronson or something of that nature, and actually using it, fishing like our parents and grandparents did, using that technology, getting that feel for things. There's a lot of people out there doing it. And like, one of the good things about social media, one of the actual good things about Facebook, is there are groups and pages out there of people doing that same thing. They collect, but at the same time, they're using it as well.
Yeah. So, for example, a good buddy of mine, and he's not a big-time fisherman at all, but he's been one of my best friends since I was in my teens. So all of a sudden, we go surf fishing in Lake Superior for some steelhead, And I was using a rod from 1960 that I found at a yard sale that somebody had hand-tied for someone. It's got the metal furls. It's got this, that. I'm using an old Zebco 4, or on that rod it might have been an old Abu Garcia 4, whatever. You know, pretty much the same reel. And we kicked butt. We caught a bunch of fish, and it didn't. The new rod, while it's important for some things, I will say, you know, some kind of things, you want to feel that tick of a walleye, you want to feel the that whatever. There's some things that these, you know, vintage rods and reels, you know, you can still catch a fish. So my thing about this now is, it doesn't matter what's in the corner of your garage. Go fishing. Go hunting. So you have your grandpa's old whatever. Yeah, maybe take it into a qualified gun shop and drop it off and say, clean this up and make sure it shoots right and all that kind of stuff. And you go deer hunting for the first time or second time or third time, whatever. But you have great-grandpa's gun, you know, and it works.
Speaking with David A. Rose here, outdoor rider and fishing guide up in the Traverse City area on Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. And, David, I stopped by a yard sale last weekend, and this is no joke. I'm looking for stuff. The guy's like, well, what are you looking for? I said, well, I'm looking for old stuff. It all depends on what it is, but usually it's old. He's like, you like guns? I'm like, man, that's the last guy to ask if I like guns. Of course, he comes out with this beautiful lever-action Marlin Model 1897 with the rear marbles flip-up sight made in that year. And asked me, he's like, what do you think of that? I'm like, I can't afford it. But, you know, here's somebody sharing his passion with a gun that's well over 100 years old. It was absolutely beautiful. It had the patina around the stock area, right by the lever action portion, just from being used. But it was so well cared for and so beautiful that had we not had that initial conversation, I wouldn't know it was there. And that's one more thing that I can say that I've seen.
Yes, I will say, if you're going to yard sale this, you know, say, hey, when they ask, what are you looking for? Fishing. Oh, let me get, I went to one of those last week. Let me get something out of the garage for you. Now, I didn't need anything he had, which is great, but I said, you can get this and this and this and this. And they thanked me for saying, yeah, you can get this and this and this out of this. They had no idea.
Well, you know, and there's so much still out there that, We'll never know the scope of anything we collect, what's hidden out there or what's in a closet someplace. I mean, look, there's another Declaration of Independence out there somewhere, and somebody's going to find it, hopefully, or maybe not. Maybe it's just sitting there. But you know what? Clearing out the clutter, you know, sometimes it's not about just getting rid of stuff. Maybe you're looking back. Maybe it's some things that'll bring a smile to your face. Either way, real quickly, David, your buddy in Bear Lake is going to have a great big sale with some of your stuff. When is that?
So that's going to be the third week of August. I'm going to say 21st. I will post it on davidarose.com, or not .com, but David A. Rose for, you know, Facebook and all that kind of stuff. Just remember, 20, 30, look for the yard sale signs. There's going to be a lot of great hunting and fishing stuff.
And I'll be there like 2 days before. So, David, send me that info, and I'll be there. It's Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network.